Ladies and gentlemen, welcome you all to Drive to HR, where lunch conversation happening with the movers and shakers in the HR industry. And this is your host, Nisha, and my partner in crime, William Tinkup, is at Missouri Shrimp Conference. So shout out to everyone at Missouri Shrimp Conference. And if you are on Twitter, check out the hashtag MOSHRM, so you can stay tuned to what's happening at Missouri Shrimp as well. So without further ado, let's get to it. Let's talk to our guest, Mark Hornuk. Mark, first time on the show, welcome to Drive to HR.
Thank you, Nisha. It's an honor to be here. Very happy to join you.
Great. We are delighted to have you here with us today. So Mark, for those of are listening to us and to help them know who you are, would you please talk a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Sure. So I work at Findly Talent, which are the developers of on-demand talent, and that is a unique concept in that we begin with employer brand consulting and then take our clients through developing their messaging, the creative for that. We also work with them on media, and then we also have an extraordinary software as a service or SaaS suite of products that help people acquire, engage, and motivate their employees. And the SaaS suite is really exciting because it allows me as a brand practitioner to really have a seamless continuum of activity. You know, we start with working with the client and discovering what their employer brand is, developing the messaging, and then we immediately have the tools to help us get that message out to the marketplace. So I work with a lot of different clients in different industries, consumer packaged goods, aerospace and defense, healthcare, telecommunications, and that's one of the things I love about my job, by the way. I really enjoy the variety and learning about different industries and how they work and how I can help them attract and retain the best talent.
Wonderful. So what it is that is keeping you up at night these days? I know there are a lot of things, but if you can talk a little bit from the HR perspective, what do you really want to communicate to our audience?
Well, I think, you know, and I've been in this business since dinosaurs roamed the earth, and so I've seen a lot of changes. And I think the things that are concerning, I wouldn't say in a negative way, but just something to pay attention to today, is the changes that are occurring in our industry are extraordinarily rapid, but they're not across the board. So you have certain industries, certain geographies, where change is just happening at warp speed. And you have other areas that perhaps aren't as active. So in the past, economic trends, macroeconomic trends, would be sort of universally, I mean, there'd be variations, of course, but it would affect, you know, the entire country, if not the entire global economy. But now what we're seeing is there's very different conditions in different places. And so what that means to me as a brand practitioner is we need to look at how the brand messaging will resonate with audiences in, say, a Northern California, where I'm located, where, you know, there's been a lot of stories about how the economy is moving very rapidly. There's a real shortage of technical talent, as opposed to perhaps some other markets in the United States where it's not as active, or when you go to places like China and India, where a lot of my clients are very active right now and they're very interested in getting into those markets. And you can see that, for example, in India, I was talking to a friend of mine from there, and he was saying, you know, the rise in wages is so dramatic that, you know, they're beginning to think about perhaps bringing some jobs back to the United States because it would be more cost effective. So I think that, you know, that just, you know, you can't have broad trends. It's really in very different markets, very different conditions, and that really keeps you on your toes.
Right. Well, Mark, I'm going to stop you right there. There's a little bit of an echo that I can listen to what we are talking. So is there a live version of our podcast is on your desktop? I would appreciate if we can close it so we can avoid
okay.
that echo.
I will do that right now. Okay, is that better?
It is better. Well,
okay,
thank you so
great.
Much for that. Now we have a 100% clarity on our audio. So going back to what you have talked a little bit about the economy and then about the brand messaging. Well, what I've seen is in United States, as you were saying, we are culturally diverse. And when we talk mm-hmm. about workforce, we have workforce coming up from every part of the world, and mostly, you know, Asian countries and India. And when we talk about this brand messaging, how people really perceive a brand is basically based on what it does or probably what it offers and
mm-hmm.
A perception that they have, right? So what
correct.
Have you seen among your clients, how this brand messaging should be in order to attract the talent when we talk about a global workforce?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, a lot of employers are looking for a global employer brand. And I think we now realize that such a thing is a very difficult, if not a possible, goal to achieve. Again, because different economies, different geographies are at different stages of their development. And also, and I stress this to my clients all the time, you must respect the culture. And so, you know, if, for example, in India, lots of people still read print newspapers, okay? The trend, like
mm-hmm.
everywhere else, is declining, but they're still very popular, and you can't ignore that. And there's also a premium in that economy placed on the prestige of the employer. I was talking to an engineer in Hyderabad, and he worked for a large U.S. tech company. I'm not going to name names. But he was telling me that when he accepted his job, he went back to his family and said, hey, I just took a job at XYZ. Isn't this great? And his grandfather said, what, you couldn't work for an Indian company? And because of that one comment, he almost reneged on the offer. And so, you know, I tell that story to my clients to stress you have to pay attention to not just attracting the candidate, but you have to understand the candidate in the context of his or her culture. And what do you need to do to make sure that you're going to get the right people and that they're going to feel good about working with you? So I think the point there is we have to respect the culture. And that means that your employer brand has to be consistent, but it also has to be flexible enough that it can resonate with people in India or in China or in Brazil or in Europe as well as in North America.
Absolutely. So I want to look at that flexibility factor of building the employer brand. So when we talk about a global company, and you might have a very good example that you can find out, and then you might be working with some of our clients. So they have operations all over the world, but culture is something that is really unique to where that company is located. So do you specifically advise them to make their employer brand or probably messaging that employer brand flexible enough to, you know, mash up with the culture of that particular country?
Yes. Well, you know, for example, we work with a large consumer packaged goods company that, quite frankly, isn't that well known even in the United States, even though they're an American-based
mm-hmm.
company. And the reason for that is they emphasize their product brand as opposed to their overall corporate brand. And, you know, there are lots of good business reasons for doing that. So, you know, that's why you would recognize their product brand name, but you might not recognize their corporate brand name. Well, what that means when they go into a market like China or Brazil is that, you know, again, the people in those countries may not recognize the name, and so, again, there isn't that sense of prestige or being a desirable employer. So what we have to do in a case like that is play to your local strengths. So we emphasize the local products that are made, and then the messaging is around these products are part of a global family that includes lots of different products in different places, and talking about the diversity. But the other underlying thing is it's a food company, so the whole messaging is around the fact that our mission, our purpose, is to provide nourishment to people. And it sounds like a very basic, simple thing, but it's also a very important thing. And in some places, it's not that easy to achieve. And when you think about the stresses that are on, say, a middle-class family in China or India, where those economies are now developing, people are finally beginning to sample the kinds of lifestyles we've taken for granted here in the United States, but they're also having to deal with the same issues we have to deal with in that, you know, they have to go to work, they have to commute, they have to worry about their children. Time becomes very precious, and where in the past they may have had the luxury of spending an hour or two preparing an evening meal, sitting down with their family and sharing it, now, like so many of us, you know, they're picking their children up, they're getting home, they've got to, you know, help the kids with their homework, then they got to go to bed and get up the next day and start it all over again. How do you introduce to that culture the idea of convenience foods that are still at the same time nutritious, good for the family, and so forth? And that's a very powerful motivator for a lot of people because, you know, if I have my choice of working, say, for a company that's developing another app, and there's nothing wrong with that, or a company that's helping people feed their families, I think a lot of people in a lot of different cultures are going to gravitate toward that more important challenge. And that's what we're stressing for this client, is the fact that this is a very important mission that we're on, and it's also something you can be very proud of. And I think that's really the essence of what we try to do with our clients, is to distill the message down to its core essential element and play that back to the audience in various ways. And above all, it has to be authentic. In other words, if you encounter someone from that company and you say, hey, is it really true that, you know, you help, you know, nourish people, that they will say, absolutely, that's what we do. Because, you know, trying to be something you're not, particularly in today's social media world, you will be found out very quickly and the damage will be considerable.
Oh, yeah, totally true. Something might be on their YouTube channel, they might be seeing a totally fun culture and exciting, but once that candidate steps into that organization, things are different.
Absolutely, yes.
So talking about that authenticity, it would be great if you can talk, if you can share a little bit of the basics to our audience while building their employer brand. Some things like what to do or what not to do while defining and differentiating themselves.
Sure. Well, the very first step is you need to understand what your employer brand is. And that can be difficult sometimes because you may not like what you find. But one of the things that I stress to my clients is that perception is reality. So you may think that you're a really great company and you know that people love you, and then when you go out and you actually ask your employees or you ask potential candidates and you find out, well, that's not necessarily the case, there's a temptation to discount that feedback and say, well, they don't know the truth. You know, they don't understand. We're really great people. And you probably are, but the problem is that that perception is the reality to those other people. So you need to do your homework, and that includes doing research, you know, looking at whatever existing employment-related research you may have satisfaction surveys, engagement surveys, aggregated exit interviewing information, acceptance to offer ratios, things that tell you how people are reacting to you as a brand. One of the things we do for our clients is an online reputation audit, and we go out and we use technology to go out on the Internet, find out what people are saying about this company or organization as an employer, and then bringing that back and analyzing it. And so you need to do a thorough job of that, and it sounds very time-consuming and expensive, and certainly it can be, but it is scalable. So even if you're a small employer, you can use various tools such as SurveyMonkey. You can do online focus groups, and you can begin to get a sense of how people feel about you. Although I would encourage any employer, if you want to get the real truth, you need to engage a third party. I would love it if you engaged Findly, but I'm not here as a commercial. So find someone, whether it's Findly or someone else, to go in and do that, because your employees are going to be much more forthcoming with someone from outside the organization as long as their anonymity and confidentiality is assured. Once you've done that assessment, then you need to sit down and analyze the results. We use a device we call the Employer Brand Target. I know a lot of different consulting firms and agencies have similar devices. We use these to basically deconstruct the feedback and rebuild the employer brand so that it becomes comprehensible, and then figure out what's really driving that. And what we're getting at is the employer value proposition. And the employer value proposition can be summed up as the answer to the question in employees' and candidates' minds, what's in it for me if I go to work for this organization? And, you know, the Corporate Executive Board and Gallup and others have kind of isolated five elements that go into that EVP. There are the rewards, so the compensation, the benefits, those are very important. There's the work itself. Is it something I like to do? Is it something I'm good at? There's the opportunity. Is this an organization that's on its way up? Is it growing? Is it expanding? Are there going to be chances for me to learn new skills or to perhaps move in different places? There are the people I'd be working with, and that's, of course, very important because you're going to spend most of your waking hours with those folks. And then there's also the reputation. So is this an organization that I will be proud to put on my LinkedIn profile or on my resume, or is it something that is known as a resume stain? So those elements of the EVP go into constructing it. You need to understand that. And then the third step is to develop a strategy about how you can go from where you are today to where you want to be, because any dynamic organization is going to be moving towards something, is going to be striving for a goal. And so the idea is to figure out, okay, this is where we are today. This is how people know us. This is our employer value proposition. And in order to become the kind of organization that's going to deliver the results we need to move in this direction. Then you begin to figure out what's the messaging for that. And I use the term messaging because in the old days we used to talk about copy and layouts and ads and things like that. Well, today we have a multiplicity of channels to reach people. So there's owned media, your own career's website, your talent community, your internal communications. There's the traditional paid media, job boards, offline media such as print and outdoor and broadcast. And there's also earned media, which are the social media and human resources, PR, and review sites like Glassdoor. And you have to orchestrate and really synchronize all of those channels. And then once you've done all that, you've got to measure and assess the results. And, you know, when you're done, you'll find out that you're never done, because when you say taking a look after a year, you'll say, okay, we made this amount of progress. We're at this stage in our development. Now where do we go? And by the way, this is not unique to human resources. I mean, if you were in product marketing or consumer branding, the same thing is going on, because your brand is that relationship you have with your audience or your constituents or your employees. And that relationship is dynamic because your employees will use that, because we're talking about employer branding. They're constantly being bombarded about messages about other employers and other opportunities. And it could be something as large as they get an email from a recruiter, or they get other types of messaging. But it's also when they go on Facebook and they see that their friend just got a new job, and they're like, wow, how did so-and-so get a job there? I think I'd like to look. And all of a sudden, now they're in the market. And you as an employer, you may have been doing everything right. You may have been, paying them well, giving them good benefits, providing a nice work environment. But unless you're remarketing that to those people, there's a tendency to forget that, And so it's a constant process, and it's continuous. And I think that's the other important message. You really cannot let up.
Yeah, that is totally true. Well, while you talked a little bit about, synchronizing all those channels, you talked about a few tools like talent communities, internal communication, job boards, and apart from that, social media as well. But what do you really advise your clients to probably communicate that brand message to the people by people I mean the employees, and probably reinforce that brand reputation? Because as you were saying, by seeing one of their friends have joined a new company, and when they see that on Facebook, when they have a look at on YouTube and all those social media channels, it's when they talk, that brand is getting reinforced, right? That messaging is getting reinforced. So they should themselves feel like, yeah, I'm working with a great company. They're treating me well. Well, in fact, they should treat them well. That is there. Communicate or reinforce that brand reputation among the employees within the organization, and making sure that they know exactly what their organization stands for.
Well, I think that there are a number of ways. And one of the things that we've seen in our research, and I just saw a research study by the International Association of Business Communicators that corroborated what we found, and that is that employers are generally guilty of over-reliance on email. And, they think, we send out emails to our employees and we'll tell them how great we are and everything will be great. And time after time, I talk to employees and they say, I get tons of emails from corporate. I put those to the side to read when I have nothing else to do. Well, of course, in today's world, we all have something else to do. And so that messaging generally gets lost. I'm not saying email is bad. I'm just saying it's overdone. So you need to have other channels. So you need to think about looking at your intranet and making sure that it's vibrant. It's something that people want to come and use. Think of it as an internal publication. The content has to change. It has to be fresh. It has to be engaging. And it has to have value for the employees. And if you do that, they're going to start to use that tool. But there are other channels you can apply. You can have a YouTube channel that can be both internal and external. You can have Pinterest. You can have Instagram. People are very visual. So encouraging, let's say, your employees from around the world to share images from their workday, from their activities, maybe a company event, so that, that voice on the other end of the phone in New Zealand or in Scotland now has, a face to it. And you can say, those people, that's really cool. And people tend to take pride in the fact that, wow, I'm part of a much bigger organization, and we're doing really great things in different places. So you need to look at all the different channels that are available to you, and there are many of them today. And again, you need to plan it out. So one of the things we do with our clients is we like to develop an editorial calendar, just as if we were publishing a magazine, and say, here are some key dates coming up in the year. They could be events such as quarterly all-hands meetings where we report our business results. They could be holidays. They could be you name it. And you begin to build, we're going to emphasize this event on the intranet, and then we're going to follow up with a report to employees, and maybe we will encourage people to submit their ideas. You know, one of the things that's very popular here in Silicon Valley are hackathons, where you get everybody together for a day or a half day and give them some problems to solve and just have everybody go at it together. So there are a lot of different activities and channels you can use, and you need to mix it up so that people, you know, are getting the messaging from different sources. I saw a study that was done a few years ago by American Airlines, and they were trying to find out if they wanted to get something, a message, out to their employees, how often and in what ways would they need to do that in order to make sure that every employee got the message and understood it. And what their research showed is that you need to communicate important information to employees a minimum of 9 times using at least 3 different channels. And so that tells you, you can't just put out an email and say, okay, we're done. You need to have a multimedia approach.
Totally. So, Mark, we have about 3 minutes left at this point, and I got to ask this age-old question to you. That is, you know, employer brand can just be about HR. So who really owns? Is it HR or is it marketing or both of them together?
It's really both of them together. And again, if you go back to our definition of a brand, it is a relationship between the organization and its employees. And we define employees as current employees, former employees, and prospective employees. So managing that relationship is very complex, and it requires a lot of work. But it also needs to be synchronized with the overall organizational brand, whether that's a product brand, a corporate brand, a governmental brand, you name it. You need to make sure that the two are in sync because of, you know, the world at large, and that includes your employees as well as your prospective employees, sees your corporation or your product marketing folks saying one thing and you're saying a completely different thing, that dissonance says, wow, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing there. I'm probably going to stay away. So you need to have those two things synchronized. Now, you know, who gets the final say in something like that? I think that HR, if they're doing their homework, are going to be more attuned to the employer value proposition than any other group in the company. They're going to understand how the rewards and the opportunity and the work itself and the people are working together to answer that question of what's in it for me if I work for this organization. We always advise our clients that the employer brand and the employer value proposition are aligned with the overall, our overarching institutional brand, and they are not superior to, nor are they inferior to. They're more like orbiting that, if you think of a solar system, they're orbiting that sun, which is the, you know, source of energy, if you will, for the organization.
Great. Well, Mark, thank you so much for joining with us and sharing your lunch time. And we really, really had a wonderful conversation and look forward to having you again on the show sometime soon. So where can people connect with you and find out more details about Findly?
Sure. They can reach me at mark.hornung, H-O-R-N-U-N-G, at Findly, findly.com.
Great. Thanks, Mark. Have a wonderful rest of the day. And to our audience, thank you so much for tuning in to DriveThruHR. Check out our social media platforms on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. We will talk to you all tomorrow.
Thank you, Nathan. It's been a pleasure.